tend to block farces out of my
head. They'd put their hand on the lamp, and I'd forget I was supposed to turn the lamp on. I mean, it's just
nice, David.
Well, that's why I said I'm not the perfect light guy.
You just don't want to do lights.
I ran lights for a long time. Earlier, when we had the old manual board, I did it a lot, and I was fine with it. But I don't know. Let's see how we're going to handle. What's the title of this one?
There
are no small actors. We'll just call it that. Okay. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shope.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are theater geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This is episode 15.
Wow.
There are no small parts. Only...
Dot, dot, dot.
There we go. We have to. We have an announcement to make today, and that is, and I have to locate it here very quickly on the old PC, the... winner of our contest that we had been running, which was to fill in the blank, there are no small parts, only small actors. That's the classic phrase that has been around for years. I don't even know who said it. But Marcia probably knows who did, maybe.
No, I don't.
No, she doesn't?
I'm not that old.
Oh, okay. All right. I wasn't trying to say
Thank
that.
You
I was just
very
thinking.
Much.
But you are sometimes our encyclopedia on some of this stuff.
I don't know who said that.
Okay. But the challenge was to fill in the blank with no small parts and fill in the blank with your own continuation and win a Theater Geeks hat. So the winner...
Well, and thanks to everybody who sent
Oh, that's right.
In.
Yes, thank you to everyone who sent
some
in.
Some of them were very interesting.
Some of them were interesting, can't be repeated. Yeah. Some of them were very clever. Some of them were downright depressing. There were a few that I thought were a little on the depressing side.
Mean. Come on,
but
folks.
Our winning Smile. Entry is there are no small parts, only a lot less yakking and a lot more acting. We thought that was sort of poetic and also ties into our topic for today, which is to talk about what you do when you have a small part and a lot of time on your hands. But our winning entry comes to us from Jim Bain in South Bend, Indiana.
Wow.
And
Jim.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Jim. And that hat will be coming to you when hell freezes over. No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Sooner or later, yes, you'll be getting your Theater Geeks hat.
So,
thanks, David.
Thanks a lot to Jim for
now,
that.
Now, can I say I know Jim?
Yes.
Do you really?
And I know that I've tried to put a hat on Jim in the past, so I may have to build him an extension because he has a very large cranium. So just
large cranium. Well, the hat.
Congratulations! You're not saying he has a swelled head.
No. I tried to put a bowler hat on Jim one time, and it's like I don't think I have one big enough for Jim.
These hats are like expandable.
They're
adjustable.
Like baseball caps.
They have like the little. I think they have the little snappy thing in the back that you can
excellent
open it right
way
out.
Jim, you'll be great.
That's
very
right.
You're
good.
Fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so thank you very much to Jim Bain, but. We were going to talk about that today, which is what do you do when you have a small part and a lot of time on your hands? One of the temptations is to get yourself distracted with little stuff off stage and then miss your cue entirely, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's a temptation. I think that's just a stupid move. I mean, I would never be tempted to not make an entrance.
No,
you just get distracted.
Get distracted,
right? Yeah.
It used to be card playing. I mean, we've talked about that. It's that.
Yeah.
You know, in fact,
euchre. Oh my.
Euchre
Lord.
is banned now in our dressing room because it created at least one or two missed entrances in the past. So nobody plays that anymore. But you know, now, like especially with younger people who have these Blackberries, who you can play games on the Blackberries.
And you can text everybody in the world.
Texting, and you know, it's really easy when you're not on stage constantly to get distracted by all these electronic devices that we have now.
I thought you were supposed to turn them off.
Well, you are, but if the stage manager, and that was, as we all know from our last episode, but the stage manager can't be in every spot every time.
That's true.
And, you know, there's a lot of texting still going on. And I'm at a point now where I want to just tell every actor
texting
when they walk in the building,
nuts.
here's a pouch. You put your phone in the pouch, just turn it off and let it go, and you can have it at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is extremely easy. I don't think anybody has ever deliberately wanted to miss an entrance, although there may be somebody in the who has. I don't know. But I think people miss them because they get distracted.
Yeah. And it's just a toss-up on who is more embarrassed about it. The person who's stuck on stage trying to ad lib or find something meaningful to say while the person who's supposed to be there until they arrive, or the person who arrives out of breath and probably red in the face and panting from running from wherever they were when they finally realized that they were supposed to be on stage and they weren't.
I remember when I was in a melodrama once. And I was tying the lady to the railroad track.
Oh, jeez. Dirty work.
And the train is coming, of course, which is a special effect. And then I get my foot caught in the railroad track, which is sort of the denouement of the, I was the villain, obviously. And then someone is supposed to come and untie the poor maiden that's on the tracks before the train comes, et cetera, et cetera. And that person never arrived.
Oh,
so I it turned out later that that person was actually talking to my spouse, who was on stage crew or downstairs or was helping with costumes or something. Didn't have, anyway, conversation got going, and she forgot her cue because she was talking to someone else, got distracted, and then so the lights just went out, and then the lights came up, and I was dead under the sheet, and then that was, you know, was corny. It worked out, but it was very interesting because you get looking back on it, it's interesting. On stage, it's not so interesting. It's more like a panic. But you know, you do. I think everyone's had the experience where suddenly nothing's not there, something's not where it's supposed to be, or someone isn't, and it's can be pretty terrifying. So,
but that's not always. You know, we're talking about small parts. Or you know, that are smaller parts.
Oh,
than
it's
what
not
a lead
necessarily
is.
I mean,
that happens
small
with leads
person.
All the time. And you know, it happened during a performance
recently
for me, where one of the leads didn't show up on stage. And left the other lead just hanging in the wind. So it can happen.
Yeah.
But you know, I as a performer who has played small roles and larger roles, other than the fact that I think that it gives you a definite appreciation for all aspects of acting, and that's why I encourage everybody that when you audition for a show, to audition for the show, don't necessarily audition for a role. Although you should have that in your mind, but to audition for the show, and you want to be in the show, because you can have as much fun and do as much good work in a small role as you can a large role. And specifically, I think back to a time I played Ebenezer Scrooge years ago, and a couple of the characters on stage were people who had played much larger roles in the past, but they had chosen to take smaller roles in this particular production. And every time I think about it, I'm thankful, because the one actor, I had these huge monologues, and at the end of the show, I went up on a monologue completely.
I think you should explain what went up.
I completely forgot. I had no idea where I was inside the monologue. And one of the actors who was on stage, who was in a smaller role, had the experience and the knowledge and was able to bring me back to where I needed to be and helped me to find my spot in the monologue and helped me continue on. So, I mean, so when we talk about, you know, some people think, oh, well, it's just a tiny role, but how pivotal sometimes those characters can be on stage for everybody that is being surrounded, you know, it's just...
And it's a great important. Way to learn if you really have an interest in being in theater, you know, local theater, and you've never done it before, sometimes you're much more comfortable if you can kind of work into it by doing really small roles and seeing how the process works before you attempt to do a much larger role.
Yeah, I agree completely. And the fact that the smaller roles often are based more character yeah. oriented. Yeah. So, yeah. so they kind of give you a chance, especially as a young performer, to really start figuring out how to develop character, especially when you're working under a strong director who knows how to help you create character. So if you're working under a good director in a small role and it's a great character role, it's a wonderful way to build your repertoire and to, you know, to learn again all the basics that we talk about, which I always instill in every cast, even if it's to like, what benefit sometimes, but projection and diction and enunciation and being in the moment, which every one of those things adds to the final product.
And if you're doing a small role, you kind of have to take that on yourself to prepare that way, because it's not like you're doing a main character and you can kind of work into whatever emotion you're supposed to arrive at eventually. You may have to go on and be hysterical, you know, in just in the flash of a moment. And you have to be able to work up to that
and be
before
believable.
You get on stage and be believable. That is a very difficult job.
Yeah, I was going to say that the characters that are the small parts very often are either, you know, sometimes they're comic relief or sometimes they are, you know, something else, you know, a pivotal thing that just they're there. They have a maybe more of a functional role than in terms of making something a turn in the play, but the point is that their characters are developed in a much more compact fashion than the characters that have, you know, an hour and a half to work in.
I'm thinking of a play that I just saw, which is on our season Elkhart Civic Theater for later in the year, which is an Agatha Christie, And Then There Were None, and there are at least two roles that are very small but very pivotal, and you can't just walk on, say, a line and walk off. You have to develop a character that in that moment, you know.
Are you sure they walk killed. Off or they just die?
They just die. Well, they walk off and die.
They walk off and die. One of them dies on stage, yes. I think. Yes, true. I know what you mean. Yes.
Blackout, though. I've never understood why. You know,
why they die in a blackout?
I'd love to see blood. You know.
Oh, geez. So, okay.
They don't all die in a blackout.
No, they don't.
They don't. Yeah.
But especially in something like that.
Right.
You know, if you're the victim, you don't get much time on stage, but you have to make whatever time you have memorable.
Right. And you have to make.
And you pretty much have to do that on your own. I mean, the director can help, but if you can create like your own backstory for where did this person come from and why are they doing this? I mean, you know, so if it's a maid, she may have been out of work forever and she really needs the money and you know, she's supporting a family. I mean, you can imagine all kinds of things
right. For
a small, you know, a very small role that'll make it much more interesting when you get on the stage.
But I will say something also about smaller roles in shows, which is I have seen actors who have smaller roles, and they do, you know, they do wonderful work in rehearsal, and then all of a sudden they step out onto the stage and they're going to make that role the biggest possible role it can be.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
And it's like, I had a conversation not too long ago with somebody who it was just progressively getting bigger and bigger, and finally this particular person did something very odd with their mouth, which was like, it was almost disgusting. I had to go up on stage and say, I think we need to have a talk about who your character is, because I don't think that he would have done that back in 1922 or whatever.
You
know, so it's like, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. Oh. And it's like, at some point you have to realize that even though they need to be a character and they need to be fulfilled and well-rounded, you cannot allow your character to become the major focus of the scene if it's not the major focus of that particular scene.
Right.
And it's really, I think it's something that you might want to do just because, well, I want to milk every moment that I can that I'm on stage. It's like, no, you still have to be truthful to the show.
Yeah, you have to be a part of the whole ensemble thing and fit in as little or as much as is needed. You know?
But we've all performed, and I find as much satisfaction in some of the smaller roles that I've created as some of the larger roles that I've created.
Yeah, I've had that situation too, where you, and sometimes a small role, it gives you more time to work with that character because the lines are not an issue so much, and you have less time to work in, but you can spend more time working a particular segment than you might you know, if you had a longer role. And it's almost like kind of like a little more relaxing kind of thing for you, I find.
Another part of that is you may have a role that is not huge, but is on stage a lot. And you have to build up a character in your head that will not drop out of character, if you know what I mean. In other words, you're in character when you're saying your lines, and then if you have to sit on the sofa for 3 pages without a line, you can't just all of a sudden, oh, well, here I am, I'm sitting on a sofa. You know, you have to react and respond, not vocally perhaps, but the way your character would.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really difficult.
I call it when you have a small part and you're on stage for a long time, you know, that's part of the part. I mean, maybe it's not really a small part, you know, it just doesn't have a lot of lines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you go to see, for example, a chorus musical, and if each of those people, even if they're in a chorus number and they're Jane 1, Jane 2, Jane 3, whatever. If each one of them has developed a personality, and that needs to be worked out sometimes with the director, even, you know, don't be afraid if you have a role like that to go to the director and say, you know, what do you want me to do, or what can I do, or I've thought about this, and do you think that would be okay? Because each one of those actresses and actors, if they're standing on stage, are creating a moment for the audience.
Exactly.
And so it's kind of fun. Like, for example, in Thoroughly Modern Millie, where we've got all these typists on stage, and each one of them has created a kind of an individual personality. You've got the typist who doesn't really understand even how to type on the typewriter. How did she get the job? We don't know. Maybe in her backstory, she slept with the right person. Who knows? But, you know, that's why she's sitting there. And then you've got the typist who's obviously really, really good. And she knows she's really good. You've got the young kid who's running around with papers under his arm, and he's scared to death because it's his first day at work. You know, and so you've got all these different character types,
right.
and they just add all those different layers to the scene, which wouldn't be there if they just walked on and sat there.
Right.
It also makes the actor feel much more a part of the scene rather than just sitting there, you know.
Well, the audience can tell. I mean, I've seen it where, you know, you have an actress and actresses, it can happen in just a moment where the character has left the room.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I think the person sitting on the sofa went to the Bahamas, please. You know, and that's kind of and it happens, and it's like all of a sudden it's like they're dead, and then sometimes they'll come back and sometimes they won't. But I've seen it with a production of Sweet Charity, and during one of the rehearsals, you could tell where there was still some confusion or still some concern about positions and things like that. And all of a sudden, you know, these you know, this was the dance hall girls who were supposed to be, you know, all up front and out front and talking to the audience, basically. And you'd see two or three of them just kind of they really weren't there. And that's the impression that I think the audience gets when actors who, even when there's no lines, if they're not responding, reacting, or not doing what they're supposed to be doing character-wise, the audience can tell, even if they can't verbalize it like I am. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's not easy, but it's fun, I think, with a smaller part. You know, you can, because I did one where when my character came on stage, she was on stage, you know?
Right.
And then she was part of a small ensemble and didn't have a lot more lines, but you have to be that character throughout the whole thing. And if you don't, as Dave says, if you drop out, boy, it's really noticeable.
And it is hard to sit to act 3 to make your entrance. You know, sometimes, what was it? My Three Angels, when I didn't come on until the middle of the last act. And it's like, oh, I just sit there. But then I make myself available. You know, if they need me to work backstage changing a scene, I'll help change the scene. If they needed me to move props on or off, I would do that because I don't want to just sit down there and not have anything to do. So, I appreciate actors who are willing to do that as a director. And I know our stage managers always appreciate actors who are willing to say and stand up and say, I will help you with this moment because I know you need help.
Right.
And I have nothing else to do at this point. So why don't I?
That's right.
Yeah. Also, we don't have a lot of room, and so if you don't have to rely strictly on a large stage crew to move stuff, but can involve some of your actors, it really helps space-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But today, we were talking about missing entrances and missing cues, and we don't play cards anymore because I have...
Trivial Pursuit was a problem for us for a while, too, I remember.
Now you have the monitor down in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. So at any given time, an actor can look at that and see where they are as far as in the production, and there should be no excuses for missing a cue. It was like years ago, I mean, you couldn't hear anything, so you just have to kind of keep sneaking up to see where they were. Mm-hmm. Now there's no excuse.
Well, in our theater too, if you were doing a musical, you could sort of tell by the rhythm of the feet overhead how the dance number had just been done.
Then
we could go you knew, "Oh, okay, I'm about 2 minutes after this," you know, and then you'd go on up. But that's not available in every theater, unfortunately. That was a special feature we had put in, which was cool.
The cobweb feature.
Cobwebs and rickety floors feature of our theater. That's right. So anyway.
That's part of the fun of community theater.
That's right. That's right. Sure. But anyway, so no small parts.
No.
Only a lot less yakking and a lot more acting. Thank you to Jim Bain for making that immortal. And remember to pay attention when you're off stage so that you don't screw up your fellow actors.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of little good tips in this. I'm not going to try to recap the whole thing, but that's all we have time for today. Remember, go to the Theater Geeks store, www.theatergeeks.com/store at the Theater Geeks website. Also, there's other good stuff at the Theater Geeks website for you to look at. And we will see you next time. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.